This is the A-Team Podcast, brought to you by Jack Rabbit Illustrated. The A-Team is presented by Drake's Place in Bowdell and Cottonwood Coffee and Bistro in Brookings. Now, here's your hosts of the A-Team Podcast, Matt and Kyle.
And welcome back to the Splitting Hairs Podcast, presented by Jack Rabbit Illustrated. We're back for our season wrap-up. We told you we'd be back once the dust settled. And a month later, the dust, we think, has settled. And so here we are. As always, we got to start with thanking our premier sponsors, Cottonwood Bistro of Brookings, or Cottonwood Coffee of Brookings. The bistro is part of it. That's what I know it as. Love the coffee. Love going in there when I'm in town. And getting something from their front counter, or getting a quiche or a pancake, right? People love the pancakes. Talk about that all the time. Also, got to thank our sponsor, Drake's Place, out in Bowdell, South Dakota. As you're traveling west, be sure to stop at Drake's Place and load up on what you need, your beverages, your food, whatever it is. We just can't thank them enough. We were lucky enough to try their food a couple times at tailgating this year, and it sure is good. So, appreciate both Cottonwood and Drake's Place. Kyle, how you doing?
Holidays have started to, give me more life back. The holidays can be taxing. They can be great. Sometimes they're both. This year was both. Started a new gig too, so that kind of added to the equation. But feeling good, ready for a new year, ready to dominate in all areas, right? How about yourself?
Yeah, life is good. We just wrapped up with me and my kids. We all got Nerf guns for Christmas, me included. And so we were having some bottle shooting contests down here in the basement. So that's what I was doing about 15 minutes ago. So
now, do you let them win, or do you teach them a lesson?
No, that's right. You don't. I mean, I teach them how to sight it in and stuff, and where to aim, and how to load the gun, the Nerf gun. And then if they can't hit it, that's their fault. They got to get better.
Operating a weapon of that caliber, it's important to know the safety rules.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
No eye shots.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez, you sound like my wife. All right. So we're going to dive in a little bit and just talk about the 2021 season just as a whole. We may get specific at times, but, just kind of looking at the big picture of the program, but some of the things that stood out this year as well. So, Kyle. What are you thinking?
I mean, it was an admirable year, right? With all the chaos and all the uncertainty from fall of 2020 carried into an odd spring season, but one we were able to capitalize on and have a great run and earn home field throughout, and returning pretty much the entire team, but the quarterback who led the charge there. You know, Chris did a remarkable job coming into a situation that, you know, we gave him the keys to a nice vehicle, but he was going to be the juice, right? He was going to be the battery that made the thing go. And I think he did a great job of that. At times he looked like he'd be unbeatable, untouchable. Sometimes you kind of scratched your head. That happens sometimes when you're in situations like that. New chemistry, new organization, new place you're playing. And honestly, sometimes just trying to do too much, maybe being in your head a little bit. But I think overall, Chris was an excellent addition. And I think one Jackrabbit fan should really be proud to have been able to watch play. Other than that, we would have had to develop two younger guys again. I know Keaton had that experience, and he's done great things for the Jacks, but I'm not quite sure if that's the route we're going to go long term. The idea was younger guys were going to probably have to step up. Who would step up? But Chris came in and won the job outright. So we were fortunate to see that. I was disheartened to see us lose some of the games that we did. I don't think that's any secret. I think that, two plays is a difference of, top three, four, five seed, maybe top two seed, and winning a share of the conference title. Really, the only game lost outright was UNI and then the Montana State game. So, with that being said, taking all that into account, Back has played, so I'll just use what he said. It's not good enough. So, and I mean, the coaching staffs know that, and they uh, you know, they own it. And so I think, but I'm excited for what's to come too. You know, got a lot of young talent, Tucker Kraft, you know, Adam Bach, some really nice pieces that could really make some waves. So we'll see what happens. What's your takeaway? What are your impressions?
Yeah, I think that was a really good summation of the year. You know, it started the year. Everyone remembers I was quarantined in my basement with COVID and didn't get to go to the Colorado State game. And just being able to watch that game and watch the replays and hear the announcers talk about Chris in particular and Pierre Strong and just how cool that was to see our team perform at that level against a G5 school, which is something that we've wanted to see happen for years. We've had our FBS games, but it's always been a P5 school. Kansas is just complete trash. We know that. Colorado State, we really didn't know. It turns out they weren't that great either. But it was just so neat to see SDSU, I mean, kick the crap out of someone like that, a P5 school or a G5 school, excuse me. And it just really, a lot of the smack that we talk, or that I talk sometimes on some of the recruiting stuff, I felt vindicated a little bit on that. and that was good. I like that. Going throughout the year, this year reminded me so much of the year Jake Winicky and Dallas Goedert were seniors, where the expectations were through the roof. This team went into this season expecting to win the national championship, not getting there, not making it to the semifinals, but winning the national championship. In our preview episode in August, with our Megapod or whatever it was called, we talked about what the record would be. And we looked at, you know, possibly one, possibly two losses on the season. And that's just ridiculous expectations. And that was with counting, you know, a win against Colorado State. So maybe factoring in one loss. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dustin's right in this one. Dustin Helton, a friend from the group, just wore out. That could be, I think, honestly, more mentally than physically wore out, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. We've touched on this a little bit, but the measures that SDSU chose to do in the spring to keep our team safe and healthy and protected from COVID, when we are still trying to figure out exactly what it was really tough, right? Like, they didn't get to see families. They weren't supposed to see girlfriends. They really weren't supposed to see people outside of the bubble when they made that long playoff run. And that really affects people mentally when you're, you know, that's a lot to ask. And I know a lot of the guys, you know, took time out of summer workouts. But gal, going from January to December, basically 12 months of football, you know, with maybe some short summer breaks. That's a lot. So
it's condensed. I'm not so sure it's a lot, just because, I mean, it was only 8 games. And if you factor in what a fall season would have been with the spring season, I'm not so sure I like that argument. Now, I wasn't allowing it to emerge as an excuse, because, you know, players look at social media, and it is hard, but it's not that hard. I do think the time zone thing got to them, because traveling from at home to Cali to Philly to, you know, Billings or Bozeman. I mean, that's a that's a beast. And then to then potentially have come to Texas, that would have been a grind, you know. And Sam Herder and the guys, they said it well, like, they think that we could certainly make a run, and we did make a run, but it wasn't one of those opportunities in a small abbreviated bracket like James Madison had in 04, right? So I think the thing that disappointed me was kind of just the way it ended at Montana State. I think that team just had a really great game plan and executed at a high clip. And it kind of got us caught. Obviously, there were some things we could have done a little bit better, and that happens in losses and in wins. But weren't able to pull that one out. Obviously, they weren't able to pull out the victory yesterday, and that was just an odd showing overall. So Yeah, man, just kind of a bitter taste in the mouths. I think you had a good balanced perspective by taking into consideration the amount of football and the mental wear. I do think the mental wear was a lot, but fortunately, relatively unscathed from a physical standpoint. So with guys that are coming back.
Yep. Yeah. And so, you know, I want to touch on just a few of the bright spots statistically from the season. You know, obviously we have to talk about Pierre, Isaiah, and Amar for what they did this year in the running game. Pierre and Isaiah averaged 7 yards or more on the ground. Pierre was 7 yards and Isaiah 7.4. Amar was 5. And I think I'd have to go back and look at Amar's last few games. Just sensational. Like the Amar that we saw in the fall, early in the fall, I know we had some private discussions in our group about, geez, is this kid ready? If after Isaiah got hurt, you know, what are we going to do? And I think Amar really answered the call. And I'm excited to see him and Isaiah next year as a combo.
The stylistically they fit in nicely. Where Amar, I mean, no one, we thought we'd never have another Zenner, and technically we didn't have another Zenner, but we had a guy who produced at a constant All-American clip, just like Pierre did. But you know, I think Amar's style of play fits in really nicely with what he was. You know, kind of more of a slasher, make you miss, get north and south pretty quickly in a burst type guy versus Isaiah, who's going to make you earn your tackle, right? So I'm excited to see, just like you said, what happens there.
Yeah. I want to clean up just a couple of questions. Patrick, will Gronowski be back next fall? Yes, that's the plan. His dad posted a video a week ago from the Throw It Deep quarterback school that he goes to. And Mark is moving well. He's doing dropbacks and throwing deep passes. So Kyle, did you see that clip? I mean,
I did. Yeah. I mean, his arm looks great, obviously. You know, when you're immobilized like that, you probably take a lot of time to work on some of the finer mechanics of throwing the ball, right? And but it starts with your legs, your feet, and your hips and stuff. So I'm excited to see what'll happen with him moving forward. And we got a nice insurance policy. You want to talk about that potentially?
Yeah, we'll add that. That's in a bit here. Okay. So Chad, let's just bring that up quick. The field in Frisco is a travesty. Absolutely. Ding ding. It really did look like crap. And players were slipping all over the place. Both teams were slipping. It's really unfortunate that Tommy Malott was hurt. You know, or in the first possession. We saw it in the spring. It sucks. So Montana State fans, we feel ya. So
yeah.
And yes, Patrick, it's been terrible forever. NDSU Towson, whatever year that was, absolutely terrible. So,
and the reason it's terrible too is because it's a soccer field. So there's divots left and right because they're literally, you know, picking the ball off the grass. And then they had the Frisco Bowl two weeks or so before that. And we've had some saturation here in the winter. So it's obvious why it's happening. And quite frankly, because it does so well economically and contractually, they're not moving it out of Frisco. So people are just going to need to cope with that. The field's going to be bad.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I saw, Kyle, and I can't verify this, but I saw it on the FCS Fans Nation Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Someone said they'd laid sod right after the Frisco Bowl. They tore up the old sod, put new sod down. And they thought that might have been part of the problem, is that that's too short a window for it to take any kind of root.
That could be. That very well could be. I don't know why they would. I don't know if they would do that. I don't know if they would want to use the funds for that. I'm not sure. But if they did do that, it wouldn't take hold, and it's we've not had enough heat to have it bake, and it hasn't been cold enough to let it take root in the time. So I don't know why they would do that.
Yeah, that doesn't. I mean, that's unverified, so I should probably shouldn't even say that. So, I'll hear you. All right. So a couple of other bright spots on offense I want to talk about. Tucker Kraft finally, but really truly emerging as the threat and playmaker we thought he was going to be. You know, his All-American season. I forget which All-American list snubbed him, But yeah. The coaches, right? Whatever. What a joke.
Yeah, it was.
He should have been a consensus All-American.
Yeah, they took the kid from Bethune-Cookman, which made sense. But then they had another kid.
The Sac State kid.
Sac State kid, that's right. Yep.
So, I mean, his emergence, along with Zach Hines and the Yankees, Mark has a ton of talent that's coming back that he gets to throw to again next fall. So I think that's pretty cool. We should get some news on Landon Wolf here soon. Yeah. I mean, that's another thing to watch.
Just really quick on the Tucker Kraft point. I think, like, if you look at how he emerged also as a blocker, I mean, he was a pretty good blocker last spring, but really started to kind of come into his own physically. And that comes with reps. And so he was burying people against Sac State, Villanova. He was really getting some good push at the line of scrimmage, which is a huge, leverage for the run game when you have your tight ends and your receivers blocking the way that Hines and Kraft did. Now, the one thing I'd like to see him do, I'm sure everyone in our group would agree, he dropped some balls that were like right to him sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then other times he would make catches like he did at Sac State, where it's like that David Tyree-esque.
Yeah, right.
Pin it, bring it down however you can with a guy draped all over you. So, there's obviously to be as good and dominant as he was this year and to still have areas that he can improve on is awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, exactly. And he's the type of kid that he's going to use that for motivation.
Yeah.
That's good. Good on him. Defensively, we got to mention Adam Bach, truly emerging. As the next great linebacker at SDSU, with Logan being hurt this year, a lot more fell to him to his response. Be responsible for, and I think he responded pretty well. The announcers, especially in the Montana State game and in the whole playoff run, just were really complimentary about him. You saw him pop up on a few All-American lists. Mm-hmm. He was top 20 for the Buchanan Award. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he just – a lot of good things going on with Bach.
Yeah, and he's a true sophomore, right, or this past year. So he's got way more time in blue and yellow, and you love to see that, especially with the production of a guy like Backus exiting. And then, while we're on that position group, Graham Spaulding showed a lot of promise in games where, he had to step into an expanded role. I'm excited about his ceiling. I like the way he plays his tenacity, the way he gets after the ball. And I like what he does in pass coverage too, because when he was in, he did capitalize on a lot of big plays in key moments. So getting those reps, getting that experience, getting all that condensed football, like you talked about, Matt, that's going to be good, especially for all the pieces that are leaving on the defense.
Yeah. Graham Spaulding is an interesting piece just because he came in as a safety and then was expected to kind of step into that position that Stallbird's playing now. That's where they kind of thought he was going to be. And then it turns in he's this thumper that also can drop back and play some coverage. So he's a very interesting prospect and one that I think could take a huge jump from what he's already done his first 2 years. So, so do you have any other thoughts or players on the season that you'd like to highlight that we haven't touched on yet?
Yeah, I mean, because he's exiting, I believe, Aaron Johnson, in the spring, Mason and Greenfield did an excellent job, earning a lot of accolades as far as their productivity on the offensive line and being key elements of the 605 Hogs, who had three players rush for, I think, some combined 700 plus yards a pop for each of them. Which is remarkable. We literally had a three-headed monster back there with Mark, Isaiah, and Pierre. And what Aaron was able to do this year, stepping up, was awesome. Because, I really think he solidified this year the best offensive lineman probably in terms of productivity as far as in pass sets and just taking that next step as a senior that you'd like to see even from the spring. So I think that was good. Yeah, as far as other position groups, we'd be remiss if we didn't say the Yankees, both of them, stepped up really, 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 really well. And then an area of concern, just to highlight it, because I think he did a damn good job when he was in there, Jackson, as far as punt return, when he had to step into that role late in pivotal moments of the season. And more than that, probably Jaden's return game on kickoff return.
Yeah.
He was ripping them, gashing them, and he was hitting it hard and fast, just like I love to see. No hesitation. Set up, read your blocking, and then get north and south. So I really liked that, man. They were huge pieces this year. And it was awesome that they were able to jive so well with Chris, because now just being able to be that kind of comfort and safety valve for Mark or whomever assumes that role, I legitimately think Mark will be good to go. But yeah, that's just going to be key. So those are all good things that you really want to see. And I think that, you know, the big things that I think inhibited us from taking that next step, and this is not singling any one person out specifically, is our secondary. I think our secondary needed to be better than it was. You know, it's tough with Don breaking his arm early, and, you know, but those are football is it's unforgiving in so many different ways. And it's the war of attrition, right? Like, look at what Montana State had to endure. You know, I tweeted out back-to-back years, first series of the game, you lose the starting quarterback of the other team, and that just takes the soul. That takes the soul of the other team. So I think as you see the complexion take shape, we need some guys to step up in big-time ways at safety and at corner. And I think we're set up to do that. I don't know if you want to talk about the coaching shuffling. I think that would be a good thing to address.
Yeah, yeah. On the secondary, I'll just say this: on the cornerback group, with Coach Jackson leaving 2 years ago, pulling two guys with him, in Gandy and Diamond Evans, and then losing the kid from Omaha,
Gandy.
I forget his name. Nope, the other cornerback that just ended up quitting. Tyjae Davis.
Yeah.
And then Marshawn Harris. So there was four cornerbacks right there that left the program that would have played significant time in this secondary. And I know, you know, that's not a huge excuse, but it is a factor that there's a couple of recruiting classes where there's a zero.
Yeah. You can't build depth.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I loved Dallas Beanham. Someone just posted that question now about Dallas Beanham for next year. I'm very excited about that. I was very disappointed we didn't see him in the game at Montana State. I don't understand that, how he's not in base defense with the postseason that he had, but I guess I'm not in all the practices either. So that's where I'm at with that. I just think that was a shame that he wasn't in there against Montana State.
Yeah, kind of confusing, but you never know if they saw certain matchups that they wanted to see and take advantage of or what the case was. But, you know, a couple key points from folks here. Definitely want to see what Dallas does next year, Nathan. And then, you know, Ryan, great point. Cade Tervier came on the scene with some tenacity here late. You know, multiple picks, multiple sacks, multiple game-changing plays. And that just goes to show someone who – had a lot of resolve, right? Because he was able to, you know, emerge late in the year. And that's someone who has a lot of grit and is just doing what he can to continue to improve his game in practice in the unflattering moments when no one's really watching. So big hats off to him, man. I love seeing that.
And so this is let's there's so many directions we can go.
Right.
Let's talk about the departures. And then into the additions, and then kind of what we're looking forward to, some thoughts about the upcoming spring season and even the fall, some general thoughts there. So departures, we lost the three coaches that we know. Coach Eck, offensive line coach and offensive coordinator for the last couple of years. Luke Schleissner, wide receivers coach, formerly the tight ends coach. He was the passing game coordinator. He went with Coach Eck to Idaho to serve as the sole offensive coordinator out there. And then Coach Bergstrom is on his way to Winona State to be the head coach there. Happy for all three. On a personal note, I've loved working with all three. They were around when this blog first started and just took the time to talk to me when they didn't need to. And so I appreciate that. Just tremendous people. So the program's Idaho, you're very lucky. You're getting two great guys in Winona State. You're very lucky. You're getting just a great person, great human being there in Coach Bergstrom. So
yeah,
excited for them.
So well put.
Yeah. Thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think Eck is going to do great. He's very creative. I think he's a visionary, and he's already assembling the right pieces, and he's curating the right narrative. So I think that's good. It was, you know, you can say, I like how he owned it and told and communicated. If you read the article from Zimmer, multiple articles where it references the coaching staff and just changes it at the FCS level as a whole. But one of the things that I like that he did, he told the guys, but to presume that didn't have some type of an impact and was not a distraction is silly. It was. It was for Cardi at Sam Houston. I don't care what you say. There's underclassmen that have to play, and they're now under the notion the guy that recruited them, made them all these promises and all that is no longer going to be there. So it's another thing on top of finals, on top of travel that you have to deal with as student yep. athletes. They did a good job dealing with it, and I respect to Idaho for not announcing it with a press release that Coach Jack mm-hmm. had taken the jobs. I think he got it on like the Wednesday prior to the yep. Montana State game. So awesome stuff there. Really excited for Bergie as well. He's going to do a great job. My favorite thing about Coach Bergstrom is the way he carries himself. His character is really, really high. He's kind of more soft-spoken, but again, another creative guy who I think is going to do really well in the yep. state of Minnesota.
Yeah, and Bergie, you know, he played at Gus Davis, has been our Minnesota recruiting coordinator, just a Minnesota guy, and he's going to do great there. He actually called me and gave me a heads up the day before. I was driving back from the cities with my wife and kids. We went to the Mall of America. And I get a call from him, and he said, "Matt, I want to tell you, I accepted the job at Winona State, and appreciate all you've done." So that was just really neat and really humbling. Yeah. And man, I'm gonna miss that guy. Just a good person. So
absolutely,
yeah, bummer.
And then Coach Schweitzer, I just want to say, man, like just from his grooming and developing of you know Dallas Goedert and countless of you know Blake
Adam Cohen. Thielen. Kenny Galladay,
Adam Thielen, Goddard, you know, he's had his hands in the mix for some really high caliber talent. And, you know, just to all those guys, we're really fortunate to have him for 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. You know, but the thing is that Jack's nation should really be excited because of the way that Coach Stig continues to operate and retain staff the way he does. Mm-hmm. And not minimize these other positions like safety and wide receiver, but you can assemble those late if you don't have a coordinated effort to find a coordinator and the right fit, guys who know the nomenclature, right? That's a big word, but the language that you use in the offensive and defensive huddles, if those guys are brand new, that increases your time to get the guys up to speed. And you don't want that. You want quick, efficient learning, right? So I think it's an excellent opportunity for Lujan to take the reins and just show his creativity, and he already knows mm-hmm. things that worked and he knows the guys. And then same thing defensively, you know, Jim has been the consistent staple in the staff and as a player for decade now. So decades now almost.
Yeah. I want to just talk on Deanne's point really quick here. Kyle, you guys are great. We have so much to cover. It's going to be a shorter show than normal tonight, but that's okay. Deanne said, so I assume the recruiting will suffer with these great coaches leaving. Not necessarily. I don't know how to put this. Schleissner is probably the recruiting person that we're going to miss the most because of how he recruits the Chicago area. He was very good with our Chicago recruits. That's one of the things that he was proud of. In my opinion, I think Coach Eck is a better developer than recruiter. My opinion from the outside.
I agree.
And Coach Berge, you know, our Minnesota recruiting just hasn't been good enough. I feel comfortable saying that. We've missed on a couple guys. We lost our two big Minnesota recruits that we had this year. One went to the Gophers and one went to Iowa State with late offers. You can't blame the kids for that. But that is a tough thing, a tough pill to swallow. We haven't hit as much on our Minnesota recruits as we should. So, that's just looking pretty bluntly at it. So whoever comes in next, we're going to have to be better in Minnesota. We're going to have to find someone that can recruit Chicago. and hopefully someone with an eye for offensive line talent that can develop them the way Coach Eck did. So
and that's a great point. And really, the thing to think about with recruiting is, fortunately, everyone's going to have to adapt to the nature of things now with the transfer portal and the one gimme rule, where you have a freebie, the gimme rule, where you can transfer and it not be penalized from wherever you are. So I think that, like you said, those guys, great coaches and educators, maybe more so than recruiters. That's not to say they were bad either, because look at the talent that we assembled. All positive things to move forward, and Stig is definitely taking that into consideration.
Yep. All right. So we've had five guys announce that they're in the transfer portal. Two are grad transfers, Ben Dinkel and Josh Manchegaya. Dinkel, as we know, lost his punting duties this year. Kind of surprising, but it is what it is. And Manchegaya slowly started to see his playing time become less and less, even through the spring season. You know, he started the year as the starter in the spring, and by the end, he was the backup in the fall. He just didn't see the field. So I'm not 100% sure what that was all about, performance or whatnot. You guys have been asking about it all season. And then our other three are young guys. Ethan Eilers, offensive lineman out of Iowa. I believe he's at Iowa Western or Iowa Central right now, I think is where he enrolled. Cade Rice, I don't think is committed yet. And then Brandon Lane is also out there still. Defensive tackle. Cade Rice was our quarterback recruit last year that I'm sure once he saw that we had added Chase Mason at quarterback, it became an easy decision for him to leave. The big addition besides Chase Mason that's going to be here this spring is Brian Williams, the defensive tackle, All-American Division II, Valdosta State. If you watch this kid's highlight tape, he plays like Caleb Sanders, but he might be a half foot wider. He is a big body in the middle there. So, Kyle, have you checked out his tape yet?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a Georgia guy, right? He's from Florida, so another Florida Jack, but a Georgia Jack. So I'm excited to see that pipeline get reinstalled to Georgia there. So, but having collegiate experience, Valdosta State in Georgia is a power at the D2 level historically. So they've played good competition. Even for it being D2. So he should transition right away and be a contributor, adding at, if nothing less, depth.
Yeah.
And he's got 2 years, correct? I think.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. So 2 years to get rocking. And, you know, I'm excited. I think it'll be a good addition.
Yeah. So my only experience with Valdosta State and Brad Koenig, can recall this, when they came to Mankato and played in the D2 playoffs. And it was a super cold game. We thought Mankato, I was in grad school, and everyone thought Mankato was just going to wipe the field with these Georgia boys showing up on this cold, cold day. And they were so fast and so good and just whipped Mankato that day. Yeah. So that I was pretty impressed. So when I saw that was the school that he was from, that was pretty cool.
So, yeah, man. And it gets cold there too. So.
Okay.
Yeah, not quite as cold as up north, but it does get cold. It does snow.
Yeah. So Chase Mason, got to talk about him. So because everyone, again, has been asking about Chase Mason. He is coming in, like we said on the podcast, he is coming in to play quarterback. And so we'll see what that means. I just cannot see Coach Stig going with a two quarterback system. As much as he talked about disliking having to prepare for it in the playoff stretch here, I just think it is against who he is as a coach. And Coach Lujan, I guess himself, kind of experienced a two quarterback system with him and Taryn that 1 year. So he knows the kind of stress that puts on you as a player as well, when it's not necessarily clearly defined who's doing what. So I'd be shocked if that's the route they went.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think what they're doing is they want to see what they've got in him. You know, and if he's just wows and he is able to jive really well with the roster around him, and he's taking command of the huddle, and he's able to get in and out of plays, and he's able to read defenses, you never know. I mean, I think the biggest thing is they would never come out and say this, but if you just, the onlooker would go, We don't know how Mark's knee is going to be. Mm-hmm. We don't know what type of player we're going to get on the return. That's not to say he's not doing all the right things and trying to put himself in a position to be able to jump right into the mix, but you never know. So when you have Chase Mason, highly recruited guy, I believe he had some FBS offers, right?
Mm-hmm. Fresno State. Yep. And Wyoming
State. Those are good schools, right? So then you have, you know, him opt out of football and play baseball at Nebraska, which has a good history of athletics as a whole, but baseball as well. I mean, that has to excite the fan base. You got another guy coming in. I know everybody loves Mark. We all do. But I think competition is going to drive success for that group as a whole. I don't think either one of those guys shies away from competition. I mean, I know Chase Mason wouldn't if he's transferring to his hometown school where he knows the kid who took South Dakota State to the Natty in their only appearance is coming back. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Yep. Some other departures that we just have to talk about really quick are the 1921 seniors that we have, right, that left. You know, some huge shoes to fill along the offensive line, in the trenches on the defensive side of the ball, the chain gang, and special teams. You know, long snapper, kicker, those are two positions we think that we're getting back. Our long snapper, our freshman long snapper that tore his ACL in the spring. But again, you never know, right? It's always Jaden Mueller.
Yeah.
Because Brady Sorensen was so darn consistent that we just kind of maybe took him for granted for 4 years.
Yeah. The best position to forget about completely is the long snapper. So, you know, and unfortunately in the spring we were talking about long snapping way too much, short snapping way too much. Didn't really become a factor this year. And that's a good thing in this fall season. So, you know, best of luck to all those guys, but specifically Brady, because long snapping consistently like that, you got a shot at the next level in some capacity. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. So, you know, I kind of just jotted down my questions for the spring that have to get sorted out. The first one that I have is center. You know, we've had Weskinant for 5 years, and then the 1 year that he did redshirt with injury, we had Matt Clark step in, who had played, you know, in previous years at guard. So we've had 6 years, and before that was Onosorji, right?
Yep. The pillar of consistency. I think he started since he was a sophomore or
He was a 4 year starter too. So I mean, I'm just nervous because there is no center on our roster who's taken actual big game snaps right now. Adam White was the center that was listed this year as the backup. But then as the season went along, you heard that Egan was taking snaps at center and would have kind of been the emergency center or the backup center if Wes got hurt.
Guys like Gus potentially bumping down and taking that spot?
You know, that's what I wonder. Like Gus's frame, you know, might be a better center there.
That's why I ask. And that's a guy we should talk about emerging, for some meaningful reps and scoring a big touchdown, as well. So,
And so the 605 Hogs will have a new offensive line coach. Ryan Olson slides in from tight end coach. He was the offensive line coach at every other stop that he's been. And so this was his first time coaching tight ends this last year. I feel very confident that he's going to be a great offensive line coach. The cupboard's not bare on the offensive line at all. With Mason and Garrett and Bo Donald coming in and really Gus, you know, got a lot of reps this year. So, but it is center. That's what I'm concerned about. And right tackle at that. Can Bo Donald stay healthy, I guess, is my big question. So because I fully expect Garrett to flip over to left tackle like we saw when Aaron was hurt at the end of the year. So
yeah. And go ahead.
No, go ahead, Cal. That's fine.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, do we have anything else to cover on the roster or coaches? Because we could kind of just take a peek at what our upcoming schedule is.
The other biggest question that I have is kicker. You know, with Cole Fromm, the last two seasons, three seasons, whatever it's been since Chase graduated, he just had such a big leg. Coach Stig really trusted him. You know, Fromm's field goal percentage wasn't great this year, but Stig really trotted him out there on some kicks that would have been pretty damn impressive if he had made. So some really tough situations. So we're going to miss that big leg of his for sure.
Absolutely.
And who's the kicker, you know?
Yep. Yep. So yeah. it'll come down. I saw we offered a kid.
Yeah. AJ Vinatieri.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's another kid I saw too, though, that we offered. I can't recall off the top of my head on Twitter, but yeah, AJ Vinatieri, I would be shocked if he comes to South Dakota State, but it's great. You know, you want to honor the heritage.
Less than 24 hours after we offered, LSU offered.
So. Right. And, yeah. And just looking, and that's why I say that, just looking through his, you know, they're trying to see if they can catch lightning in a bottle and see if it'll strike twice for the greatest kicker of all time's offspring. So,
yeah.
But no, I love that. Try to keep it all in the family and do what you got to do to try to identify top talent. Yeah, so that's a good question, Mark. We'll see. I'm confident they'll get it done. Kicker seems to kind of be a knack, kicking and punting for South Dakota State. We seem to hit on those.
Yep.
So just kind of looking ahead to if you could share it on your screen, Matt.
Which one?
The 2022 schedule.
Oh, yeah.
The roster. Sure.
Yep.
Just while you're doing that. So obviously the big one that we've got coming up that's going to – Be kind of telling for both squads. You know, we're at Kinnick, September 3rd, 2022, with a time to be announced for, you know, their home opener and our season opener. And hopefully, you know, we're at full strength and we have a good showing there. They're coming off of a Big Ten title berth, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Leave a 10-win season. So, you know, it's going to be something else to see if they can't, you know, shock the world and do what other teams have done, go in there and win. Doesn't happen a lot. Colorado State, who we took to the woodshed, had a nice little showing there. And
yeah.
I'm sure.
Kyle, Cade, are you seeing this, Kyle? Are you seeing the schedule? Okay, good.
And Cade's turning in. I'm sure he's going to tune in because his brother, Keegan, is on the sidelines. And he's going to want to see what he does against his old alma mater. So that's going to be a big one circled there on September 3rd.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope to get down there. I've never been to a game at Iowa. B team member Ben goes every year and just says it's a blast. So
yeah,
it's not that far away. I think I gotta get there.
And there's, you know, a lot of guys who either went to South Dakota State, played at South Dakota State. A lot of people in general, they may be FBS Hawkeye fans, but Jackrabbit FCS fans. Well, they're gonna need to put the Hawkeye gear in the closet. And keep it locked up because we're going to need all the blue and yellow faithful there. That's a hostile environment. But it's going to be exciting. Hopefully, I'm going to reach out to Snyder and see if I can't get a beat on some tickets because I'm sure they're going to just go like crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Especially for the home opener. So if you want to go, guys, start planning that one in advance.
For sure.
And then I got to kind of run, but just to kind of go over the rest of the schedule here, UC Davis on the 10th, that's going to be a nice little opportunity, I'm sure, in their eyes to try to come get some redemption for us taking them to the woodshed in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're returning guys, and it's going to be interesting to see where both clubs are at that point in the season and see who can kind of establish themselves as a legitimate contender. Butler, you know, historically we've played them, can be up and down. I think they're coming from either the Patriot or Pioneer League, one of the
Pioneer,
two.
Yep.
Yeah, Pioneer. So not the strongest of conferences. We've got to take them serious. That's a two game home stretch. And then we're at Missouri State. Obviously, that's going to be an interesting one because that's the first time we've played the Bears since they've hired Bobby Petrino. Bobby mm-hmm. Petrino's heck of a coach. They're returning the Utah State transfer, who I think won conference player of the year. His name escapes me right now.
Jason Shelley.
And whose stats were really comparable to Chris's, which that really kind of irritated me. But, you know, the kid had a ton of rushing touchdowns. So I think that they use him a lot in the red zone. We'll see if they still adhere to that formula. You know, I think they're going to be good and they're mm-hmm. going to be ready to rock. They've got some excitement back from, you know, a strong spring season. And then, you know, they're going to be motivated because they dropped what they probably should have won, a home game in the playoffs and had a run, especially being considered as a seed. So,
yep.
Western Illinois, they're going to be rebuilding. That's going to be an interesting one. And then we have the gauntlet after that. So we have the team from down south, then we have the team from up north, and then we have the Hawks or the Sioux, or the Hawks, actually. So those are two game away games. Obviously, North Dakota State, we're the only team that seems to beat them. But can we do it in the regular season and then just get it done throughout the playoffs? Who knows? Indiana State for Hobo Day, probably a good Hobo Day schedule as opposed to the last one. And then Northern Iowa, I really want to see us establish ourselves as, you know, being the more dominant team in that rivalry as of late. It's been kind of started to slip a little bit again. And then Illinois State, haven't seen them in a minute, closing out the home slate on November 12th. So that should be interesting. Anything that sticks out to you there, Matt?
Man, that is a hell of a road schedule.
Exactly. I mean,
Missouri State, North Dakota State, North Dakota, and Northern Iowa.
In Iowa.
At the Jeepers, criminy.
Yeah.
So, you know, falling off our schedule is obviously Youngstown. So that's kind of nice not having to make the trek out there or see them come to our place. I mean, I think they're kind of a sleeping giant right now at this point. So that's kind of nice. And who else is off there? Who are we missing? Is anyone else? Nope. I don't think so.
No, just one. I think it's just one, you know.
Yep. So, all right. Stop sharing. Cool. So, that's where the fall is going to be. I'm excited to just, I don't know. I'm excited for a break, but I'm
also Southern. Excited. Sorry.
Just thinking. Oh, yeah. Southern. Yeah. Thank you.
Southern's not on there. Yeah. No, that's how you. Thanks, Jamal.
Yeah. Thanks, Jamal. Appreciate you. So Kyle, I know you got to get running. Any last thoughts from you that you want to share?
Yeah, I'm a little bit, you know, there's been questions year in and year out when we've lost key components, whether it be coaching staff or players, if we'd be able to rebound. And I think this is one of those years again where we're going to need to answer the bell. I think, you know, looking at the slate on the road, you know, I think the standard has been established. So regardless of coaching staff or not, you know, we know other prominent programs who've lost staffs at pivotal times of the year who've done just fine. And I think we can do the same. I think that's the caliber of program we are now. And that's the tier that we're in. But I definitely can see if we don't take care of business and do the little things like we didn't this past year, could be a 7-4, 6-5 showing. And I don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm confident in the guys. It'll really, and the only reason I even utter that sentiment is because of question marks at the quarterback position, really. Like, you don't know what we're going to have. So, but we said that when Mark got hurt and Chris came in, look what happened. So you never know.
Yeah. All right. Couple things. Yeah. Heading up, Kyle. You're running.
Yeah. But I appreciate you guys. Thank you to the seniors, everybody who's tuned in. I'm really excited for the 2022 season, and go big, go blue, go Jacks.
Go Jacks. There you go. Thanks, Kyle. Good to see you. All right. So just a couple last things. In a month, less than a month, we'll be doing a recruiting special with Coach Lujan. He's agreed to come on. And so we'll get to learn a little bit more about the class with him. Excited. Just, you know, we can kind of talk to him too about his thoughts of being offensive coordinator too. So we'll get some information out about that when it happens. You know, we're going to do some specials on spring ball. That's something to look forward to. There'll actually be a spring ball this year. And it's going to be kind of fun to see. I'm guessing we'll see a lot of younger players who haven't got to participate in spring ball the last 2 years. So that's going to be a huge opportunity going forward with that. Yeah, one thing that I also am thinking about is, you know, I've mentioned that I want to do some type of special on the graduating seniors. We have those 21 that we lost or that left, or that graduated, were the first senior class that I had when I started Jack Rabbit Illustrated, the blog. I've spent some time going back and looking at reading that first blog. What did I think was going to happen with those guys? Who was going to be the standouts? Who was going to play as a freshman? So it's kind of fun to see how that class panned out and how it didn't in some cases. So that's something to look forward to on the blog. One kind of exciting thing that we are looking forward to here is that we've made a kind of a sweet addition. This is just hot off the press here, a sweet addition to our Jackrabbit Illustrated team and family for basketball season. I know a lot of you consider SDSU a basketball school still. The Rabbit Rundown guys, who have been doing a great job for 2 years, have decided and agreed to be part of our group here. So Rabbit Rundown will be streaming. They'll be podcasting. Their content will be sharing as well. Lots of good insights from the Rabbit Rundown guys. So look forward to that. The Takedown has been doing a phenomenal job. Chad and Jordan providing good content. So make sure that you're paying attention to what the wrestling program is doing. Huge stuff. You know, some good wins today, or a good win today against you and I, a dominant win, really, in the matchup. And then in the bonus matches against some of the Wyoming wrestlers that did make the trip, looked really good. So excited about that. Both men's basketball, wrestling's on fire right now. Women's basketball is finding its way. You know, a lot of season left for all three sports. So we're excited about that. Excited about spring ball. Lots of good stuff going on here. Keep following us for your recruiting news. So for football. With that, thank you all so much for this year. Thank you to our sponsors. We mentioned Drake's Place. We mentioned Cottonwood Coffee. Got to thank the bookstore Shenanigans and Eric Erickson with Cutler Law Firm. Thank you all for believing in us and what we do. Thank you guys for joining us on Sunday nights throughout the season to talk about Jackrabbit football. Like, how lucky are we? And thanks to everyone that bought shirts and flags and whatnot this year. We really appreciate your support. Can't wait to keep growing with you guys. It's been just an incredibly fun adventure. So thank you so much. And with that, go big, go blue, go Jacks.
This podcast has been brought to you by Jackrabbit Illustrated. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, Drake's Place in Bowdell, and to Jackrabbit Central and Shenanigans. Subscribe to this podcast and all of the Jackrabbit Illustrated podcasts, and like and follow Jackrabbit Illustrated on Facebook and Twitter. And go big, go blue, go Jacks!
Horns down!